Howdy, friends, and welcome into the Gridiron Frogs podcast as a part of the TCU Horned Frogs on SI. I'm your host, Just Nolan, because you can't handle the Ruth. I'm a Fort Worth area native with very interesting and peculiar ties to TCU. And I'm joined by my partner in crime, JD Andrus, the voice of KillerFrogs.com. He's got, gosh, what, three shows running right now in this time of year? This is episode 24 of our show covering TCU football and a smattering of other topics related. It is Tuesday, the 26th of November. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. This won't be our last show before Thanksgiving, but I don't know when this is going to get put up because JD waited 3 days last week. So happy Thanksgiving. And JD, favorite side dish. I know we talked about this, not your favorite holiday, but you're around the table at Thanksgiving. You know, the turkey or ham, that's a debate for a different time. But side dish, what's your favorite side dish?
No. Don't get me wrong. I love Thanksgiving. But I lose people because I don't like my food to touch. So I'm not big on like
We
loading
went
up
over
the plate with everything.
this.
Favorite side dish? Oh man. I don't know. I'm not really like I like the basics, like mac and cheese, stuffing, good mashed potatoes.
Okay, so mac and cheese was weird to me. So recently my family has started doing that, but only like the past 2 to 3 years. Mac and cheese has never been a Thanksgiving thing for me. I don't
See,
understand where that comes from.
ours is my aunt makes like some of the best mac and cheese I've ever had in my life, and she'll only make it on big, big days like someone's birthday if they ask for it or Thanksgiving. So like, we really make sure to cherish it. I'm not like, I don't know. I guess there's not really any special like, not like a broccoli salad kind of guy. Not like I don't like yams. I don't like cranberry sauce. Any of that like. Not really. Like, give me some mac and cheese, mashed potatoes, stuffing. Deviled eggs are all right, but like, eh. Just kind of like, yeah, bring out the pies and the dessert, please.
I'm kind of with you, but shout out to my Grammy, the green beans every year. Load me up those green beans. Love the green beans.
Yeah, I mean, it's Thanksgiving is the ultimate time. I'm really upset that Texas and Texas A&M is not a Thanksgiving game.
Yeah, well, that's because the NFL holds a monopoly on Thanksgiving. But that's a topic for a different day. We keep bringing up topics that are meant for different shows. Speaking of, there's a lot to talk about right now, including some news that came out today. Like I said, today's the 26th of November. It's a Tuesday. There was some news that came out earlier today, and before the show, JD brought up North Carolina, so there's going to be something to talk about that in just a little bit. But we're going to start off with the point of the show that all y'all want to hear. And you can hear the rest of our ramblings afterwards. And that is the TCU Horned Frogs, who took down the Arizona Wildcats. Now, at the beginning of the season, I had Arizona ranked a lot higher. And I called this upset alert because I thought TCU would be lower, Arizona would be higher. Instead, we went into this game pretty much expecting to win and supposed to win. And we went in and won. JD, your ultimate thoughts about the 60 minutes played on the gridiron that day?
Trying to figure out where I want to start first. Besides the fact that Josh Hoover's a dog, dude. The amount of times that he took absolute shots or knew he was going to take shots and stepped up in the pocket and delivered an absolute dot was beautiful to see. It was just a great team win. TCU had the most rushing touchdowns they've had in the game since 2020, I believe it was, against Louisiana Tech. They had Jeremy Payne get a rushing touchdown. Trent Battle with two rushing touchdowns. Savion two rushing touchdowns. Cam Cook with the rushing touchdown. Like there was just a lot of involvement, even in the wide receiver side. You had eight different receivers with 21 catches, which is just really, really great team involvement. There was one person left off of The receiving core that still breaks my heart is Drake Dabney, the Baylor tight end transfer. I just don't know what went wrong with getting him involved this season. And, it's at the point of the season where it is too late. Shout out, we did have a big man reception with Carson Bruno, who is the La Tech transfer himself. He got the deflection.
Number 62.
Yeah, negative 3 yards, but he did log a catch in the day. Yeah, I mean, you told me that he's has two less catches on the day than Eric McAllister. I'm probably wondering how we get in the negative, but here we are. That was for you, Nolan. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I mean, it was just a dominant win.
Hey. McAllister got 3 catches for 87 yards. He didn't get a touchdown, but I liked seeing that. All right. I liked seeing him get 3 catches for just shy of 100 yards. That was nice to see.
It was
Shout
a
out JP as well. JP had a good day catching the ball for sure.
there was a dominant win, but it was a weird win because it was like TCU came out swinging and looked really, really good in the entire first quarter, forgot how to play offense in the second quarter, and then proceeded to score on their next 5 straight drives.
Yeah.
So it was I don't know. It was a very straightforward win, but it was weird because there was just that low moment. Like, I feel like this game could have been blown out a lot more. Also, side note, Territory McMillan is, my God, is he the best receiver in the country? I mean, he had 9 catches for 115 yards, no touchdowns, and I would take that stat line 10 out of 10
Yeah.
times.
I mean, if only we had him on our receiving corps, but even then, Hoover still wouldn't find him. Sorry. I'm kidding. That was a joke. Horned Frog fans, calm down. No, that he's a great receiver. I mean, that's a great impact to have. And I think that's why like I had Arizona so high. That I mean, they were the ones who early in the season, I was like, look, they're going through a change in coach, but they bring a lot back, and he was one of the key pieces that at the beginning of the season I thought he's going to be one of the guys that keeps us going. And unfortunately, they're not going to be bowl eligible at this point. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that sucks, but you're absolutely right. He's a fantastic receiver, and yeah, I wish we had him. Defense kind of started getting a little sluggish there in the fourth quarter, but still obviously held on. 49-28 was the final score, by the way, if we haven't said that already. I mean, do you think that was just kind of game was in hand, offense is dominating, kind of defense just kind of relaxing a little bit?
A lot of second string started to come in too. Get some game time, get some game reps. You saw it with the offensive side of the ball. They kind of struggled. And I mean, you saw the same with the defense. You saw a little bit younger secondary core, a little bit younger linebacking core. Like, you kind of started to see what who some guys that you might be needing to pay attention to name wise for next season. So now I really don't mind it. Arizona is also such a pass heavy team that they're gonna find success in that area. It wasn't I no worries. The only thing that I am worried about, and we will talk about tomorrow when we do the preview for Cincinnati, is Arizona's defensive line, which is not very good, bottom half of the Big 12, was causing a lot of ruckus in against Hoover all day. Mentioned earlier he was taking a lot of big hits. He got sacked a few times. Like, and Cincinnati's got arguably the best defensive line in the conference, so it is
A
something
lot of
that,
pressure is coming. Yep.
yeah, it is something that kind of worried me seeing that happen and then knowing that you have to play Cincinnati. But we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But it was just something that kind of shocked me for the matchup.
Lastly, because as you and I were talking pre-show, there's not a lot we can take away from this game. We're obviously bowl eligible. We're going to finish at least 7-5, hopefully 8-4. What's your biggest takeaway from this one?
The fact that it was such a big weekend for this is, in my opinion, probably the biggest game of the season, just because of the amount of recruits that were going to be there. Terry Shelton, the newest commit who flipped from Arizona, was there. TCU has had now had two defensive JUCO defensive tackle JUCO transfers in after their official visits for the game this weekend. They've made, I believe it was 7 different offers to players from this weekend's game. The biggest takeaway for me is that this was a massive win, recruitment wise, because it was one, the last home game. So the last time that you were going to get players to be able to experience the game day experience, to dominate a team like that,
We had a lot of visits this week too. I know that for a fact.
especially a lot of players, you gotta to dominate in a game like that where Arizona is still a really good football recruiting school, and to do that while you have potential recruits there on campus is really good. I mean, Sonny Dykes has we're there in top 20 recruiting class. He's a fantastic recruiter, probably the best in the Big 12. And I don't know. I think that was just my biggest takeaway was being able to have a game like that in a big week like that with that many recruits on campus is such a big deal. And I, you know, it's worked already. You've had two defensive tackle JUCO transfers who are going to play huge roles in next season's team, you know, commit within 3 days of being a Fort Worth.
Three results out of the Big 12 I want to talk about outside. I'll go ahead and just say the scores of the ones I'm not going to talk about. West Virginia beats UCF 31-21. Baylor beats Houston 20-10. Iowa State took down Utah 31-28, and Kansas State beat Cincinnati 41-15. That one we will talk about a little bit more tomorrow. Okay, I see you want to. I see you're ready.
I want to talk about something. Neil Brown, does he get fired from West Virginia? They're bowl eligible. Like, they're not
No,
bottom of the
no,
conference. Like,
no, 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 no. Look, I know the expectations were high, but no. No. Especially when you look at the rest of the chaos that's gone around in this conference
I
this
still think
year.
you have to fire him, but.
Well, to me, the only coach that's on the hot seat is Mike Gundy, and I know that you and Tory and everybody else have opinions about that, but I still think that Mike Gundy's on the hot seat, and I have
The only
communications with people.
coach, Gus
Who's the other one?
Malzahn.
Okay, I'll give you Malzahn too, probably. I'll give you that one. But the only one that I feel good about for sure is Gundy. And I know that you and Tori have your opinions on that, but I have people in Stillwater and they know the attitude, and I've talked to them in the past couple weeks. Trust me, it's closer than you think with Gundy. It is a lot closer than you think. Now, that's actually a great segue because one of the three games I did want to talk about is Texas Tech 56 over Oklahoma State 48. Did this seem kind of desperate for Oklahoma State? They threw everything, including the kitchen sink, at the Red Raiders at home and still lost.
Someone doesn't remember my almost upset of the week, and my exact reasoning for why it was almost the upset of the week was because nothing is more dangerous than a desperate Mike Gundy.
I don't, if I remember correctly, I don't think I questioned you on that
I
actually,
know, but I'm saying,
because
like,
I do believe in the team
it
that
wasn't
has nothing to
surprising. I
lose.
fully expected it. Like,
Right.
this was, you were going to see everything that was in the book and more. It was just, hey, Aaron Wharton. You remembered you're a pretty good quarterback.
Darn good
I'm
quarterback.
still out on Joey McGuire, though,
Can
so
be
I'll let the
anyway, yeah.
record show that. Yeah. Nolan, I'm sorry. I just keep thinking about that. We could get Texas Tech and Baylor in the Big 12 championship, and that
It is
disgusts
still a
me.
mathematical possibility that that happens.
I mean, also, mathematically, a possibility I could get go on a date with Sydney Sweeney, but you know, we're not saying it's a home run out here, okay? Like,
First of all,
there's.
say her name right.
You don't tell me
You
how
said
to.
Cindy, it's
I
Sydney.
said Sydney.
I heard Cindy.
I can't speak properly.
Whatever.
My mouth doesn't open well.
That
I mean, it
might be a problem. Sorry, I'm going into dark
doesn't
territory here.
impress me. Ollie Gordon, I mean, he's Ollie Gordon. Like, 15 carries, 150 yards, three touchdowns.
So my point being is that I wanted to give you credit because you did say, and I'm a firm believer in it, that a team with nothing left to lose is the most dangerous team. Yeah, like that, the Oklahoma State threw everything they had left, and they still have. Let me look at this real quick. They are 3-8. And if my Wi-Fi would work properly, I could tell you who they're playing next, but I'm having trouble right now.
Is it not
Do you have
Iowa
it?
State?
It may be. I'm trying to load it up, but it is not working.
Oh no, it's Colorado.
Colorado. Okay, so they have Colorado. That's it. So they, I mean, obviously we knew they weren't going to a bowl game. They haven't won a conference game yet. And we'll talk about Colorado here in a second, but they're going in against a team that number one is really angry at how this week went, with a coach that is known to wear his emotions on his sleeve, with his son at quarterback in Boulder. I think Gundy was smart and knew that, look, this is the last game we have in Stillwater. We're not going to the postseason. We're throwing everything we have at Tech, and it still didn't work, and they still lost. They scored 48 points, JD, and they didn't win the game. I mean, I don't question my sources in Stillwater at all because I believe it. I do. I know that you think that Gundy is like, hey, the amount of success Oklahoma State has seen in his tenure is greater than the history of their school. And you're not wrong. But you can only take so much to a point because guess what? It's not getting any better.
But hot take, I don't think he's has the hottest seat in the Big 12. Fun fact, I actually think it's Brett Brennett, who was just in town this
Oh,
weekend.
okay.
Have you seen the amount of recruits that he's lost? Like, Gundy hasn't been losing recruits. Like, that's the
Yeah, I
difference.
understand, but you can't give this guy 1 year to program and then
You can when your rival's about to make the playoffs.
who we picked almost dead last and like
And who
unanimously in the
everyone
conference.
said made the objectively worst hiring job, except a few people who know ball. Anyways,
I think Arizona would be stupid to fire him based on who their rival hired yeah that
I
after
don't think he
one
would.
year. Give me a break. I don't think
We're
they
gonna
would
talk
either.
about
So
it
no.
later, but I don't think this is a bad year to fire your mediocre head coach. There's not a lot of positions you're gonna fight for. If there's an offensive or defensive coordinator who is looking to make the jump, there is not a lot of, you're not going against any Penn States or Indianas. Like, you are going against North Carolina, who we're going to talk about later, but like, there's no other big names to compete against. I think that's why this is the year. If you're on the fence about a coach, you fire.
Colorado goes to Kansas City, loses to the Jayhawks 37 to 21. And what I thought was, despite some of the outcomes of this past Saturday, one of the more shocking ones for me. What did you think?
Kansas and Colorado were playing hot potato at basically trying to see who was going to lose this game more. They were actively trying to lose the game. Both of them were.
Yeah, didn't Colorado lead at one point by like 7 or 8?
It was at one point, it was like it, going into halftime. I mean, it was 23-14. Like, it was it, but it was
Yeah.
a sloppy game. Also, I'm sorry, but in God's name, should those referees never call a game after that? Roughing the passer penalty
That
that
was
was not
terrible.
called
Yeah,
for
that was
Shedeur
terrible.
Sanders.
That was
Like,
really terrible.
I
I
mean,
mean, a deliberate low blow that could have ended his career if that shoulder pad was 1 inch either way.
yeah. Also, Travis Hunter, you're good. But
Breaking news. Travis, you're not, he's
but
not,
that's the
yeah.
thing. You're good.
Right. Yeah, he's
Everyone, when
good.
everyone says Travis Hunter, they say Travis Hunter's good because he's good on defense and he's good on offense. He's not great. Him being the leading finalist for the Biletnikoff Award right now, and then got left off the finalist for the Darren Thorpe Award for the best cornerback. You can't. I think that means you're not
Yeah.
the Heisman.
Nope, not the Heisman for sure.
Colorado still does control their own destiny, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, at this point, anyone in the conference does. I mean, we can say that about any of the other teams I'm about to mention, and there's actually only one other game I'm going to mention. Go ahead and finish your point, though, if you have more to say.
No, I think it's just one thing is I'm gonna I know we're not gonna talk about it, so I want to say it is Utah figured out how to pass the ball again in the last 3 weeks, and they've looked
Yeah.
like a lot better team than what
Yeah,
they have looked.
they almost did it. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they've looked like a lot better team. I mean, they're just it's a little too late, but it's a you know it's something
Right.
to give their fans.
And finally, Sun Devils at home. Houston will not get the opportunity that you and I have been talking about for weeks now to end the hopes of BYU. They still might actually. I mean, mathematically, there's still five, six teams able to make the conference championship here next week, but definitely seems like BYU has really fallen down that ladder as the Sun Devils win 28-23 at home. Storm the field early. And we'll talk about another team that stormed the field early in a minute. But they had to put the goalposts back up. I mean, yeah, let's talk about this for a minute.
When you have a
Okay.
bottom half QB, BYU, what do you expect? When you have a bottom half of the conference quarterback, what do you expect? At no point Jake Ratzliff, the guy in that game. It looked good early in the season because you're playing nobody. He's just not it. I'm sorry. And if you think he's it, well, I got a beachfront property in Illinois I could sell you. It's gonna look good half the year, but not the other half. Yeah, no, I mean, BYU was frauds. They have been frauds. I love being right, so I'm gonna gloat about it. They are the world's biggest fraud. Arizona State. Kamis Gadabu is really, really good, dude. Like, really good. But I'm so worried that they're such because they're such a one-dimensional offense. Like they really are.
Yeah, they
Like at
are.
least when BYU was performing well, they were able to run and throw the ball really well. But Arizona State has just not proven to me that they can throw the ball around when they really need to. Like that's just kind of really what worries me about Arizona State. Their defense has been really good. Their offensive line is playing well, but like I just have no downfield passing ability that I can pre like. You know, like I just said, comparing them to BYU and BYU was on their run, was BYU was just doing it in all categories. Like Arizona State's just running the ball and playing great defense. I need to see a little bit passing out of them before I'm fully like, hey, you know what? Arizona State can make a good run or, you know, maybe win a game in the playoffs, but like I just haven't seen enough from the quarterback play and wide receivers to be able to just confidently
Right.
say that.
No, I completely agree. And I have since at least mentally retracted what I said about Arizona State about 4 weeks ago. Obviously, mathematically, it's still possible that they make it. But yeah, I'm not as sold as I was back then, you know, when I was more saying it for the clicks and trying to ruffle some feathers. They're a great team. You're absolutely right. And I hope they represent the conference well in whatever bowl game they go to. But let's talk for just a second. This was a one-score game. You gave BYU 15 extra yards by storming the field early and an extra shot at the end zone. I mean, come on, how dumb can you be?
It's dumber to be a BYU fan who's on social media complaining about the students running on the field. Sorry, schools like to have fun. The students were a little drunk. Yes, I said the cursed word. They were drinking a little bit. I'm sorry. But they were having fun. If you were any of the BYU fans who were shaming Arizona State for allowing their fans to rush the field while being inebriated,
Okay, look, here's all I have to say about the rushing the field early. Okay. There were fans that were having a good time. Their team won, and they rushed the field early. Okay. But I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to look up the Oklahoma Land Run and find out why they're called the Sooners. It's kind of our thing to go ahead and take the field early. And that's exactly what happened in Norman. As my Sooners took down Alabama, and that's the next game we're going to talk about. You would think the Big 12 is crazy. Let's talk about the SEC for a minute.
I swear to God, if you tell me that you can't.
Oklahoma's not going to Atlanta. That's
No,
not what I'm about to
I
say.
know, but I'm tired of this. Oh, and the SEC is so cute, and look how good everyone is. And the Big 12 is just like, man, everyone sucks. Like,
No, that's not what I'm going to say at all, actually.
I
I
know,
think.
but the way you said it too, I'm not saying that you were inferencing or
No.
whatever, but I'm just saying I'm tired of people saying that online.
I'm just enjoying the moment that my Sooners beat Alabama. That's all I'm trying to do right now.
Yeah.
But that was far from the only one. Auburn upsets Texas A&M in quadruple overtime the week before Probably the greatest rivalry in the state of Texas resumes.
The greatest rivalry in the state of Texas?
Dude,
I'm
I don't care
sorry.
what you have
Do
to
you
say
not
that, but no,
know
Texas
the
A&M and
story about
Texas.
Texas Tech and a 10-win season? They're the biggest rivals of all time. Tech's still trying to get their first win.
Well played. Well,
I knew you'd like that one.
okay, well played. Well played. I thought you were going to go on a different tangent, but no, that was very, very well played. Sorry to my Red Raider family that I know is listening to this because they listen to every show we do. But you're right. No, so A&M falls to Auburn in quadruple overtime. Alabama falls to Oklahoma. And Florida beats Ole Miss 24 to 17. So now the NC or the committee at least has to really look at the possibility of leaving a lot of these SEC teams out. And the rankings just came out in the past hour, and I haven't even gotten a chance to look at them yet. But the SEC is in uncharted waters, and they're quickly finding out that adding Oklahoma and Texas has really messed some crap up.
Okay, so I have questions about each one of the games that you just mentioned.
Okay, go
One,
ahead.
I'm not even going to make any jokes about Oklahoma because I'm going to let you have this weekend. But was the call against Ryan Williams of against Alabama one of the worst calls of all time in college football?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There were so many bad calls in that game. I mean, against both sides,
Yeah, but
really.
that
I
was
mean, there was
probably the
terrible.
most egregious call I think I've seen in
Yeah,
the
the Ryan
last
Williams one
5
was a
years.
really, really bad call. That was a really
Like,
bad call for sure. Now, I don't think that would have affected the outcome of
no,
the
yeah,
game
it would
because
not have changed the game at all, but.
Milroe couldn't do a darn thing against Oklahoma's rush. And that's the one thing I've been saying to Oklahoma for the past 5 years. Rush that quarterback. I don't care who you're playing. They finally did it. Milroe had nothing. But yes, so it wouldn't have affected the game, but that was a horrible call.
Moving on to the A&M Auburn game. 2-point conversion overtime. What's your stance on it after finally getting to kind of really see it
Well, I mean,
game
we've seen
like
it
that?
several times, and I've never liked it.
But I'm saying like in
I've
a
seen it.
real big game like that.
So I'm glad you brought that up because I saw it in a high school playoff game last year. Yeah, last year in a quarter, the regional final. I don't like it. I really don't. The whole reason this rule was put into place is because of that one game that A&M and
LSU.
LSU went to seven overtimes and it ended 74 to 72, and it took 5.5 hours of game time,
I get it's for
right?
player safety.
I do too. I get it. Well, here's the thing: you're not playing a full quarter. You're playing a possession, right? That's not, you can't control that at that point. If that's your biggest thing, then bring back the tie and do NFL rules to where you play one extra quarter. And if they end in a tie, they end in a
If you
tie.
ever put
If you're
NFL
that worried
rules in
about,
college football, I will
I agree.
storm it.
I am not advocating for NFL overtime rules in college
I'm
football.
clipping that.
I think college has it more right than that. Okay, I'm gonna say more right. I thought the old system was perfect. Because that seven overtime game is such an outlier. How often does that happen? How often do you even get an overtime game anyway, let alone a seven overtime game?
Like after
But the
six.
NCAA flipped out and didn't want to let it happen again. Player safety. People want to go to sleep. Students have class. That game was such an outlier. You're going to judge it on this one game. Yeah, I can go on for a while about the overtime rules in college football changing. I'm not a fan of the 2-point conversion rules. I do, however, think that Mike Elko called a really bad game, and I think they were overlooking Auburn. I think they were looking ahead to Texas.
Oh, you mean
I think they're.
the clip where Elko says all of our attention is on
And that is
Texas,
all
I
the
mean
proof
Auburn?
I need. And so that proof, and then the way they played this game, that is all the proof I need that they were overlooking Auburn and just looking forward to Texas. That's all I needed. I believe that's what happened. Just like I believe there was more than one shooter on the day JFK got shot. That's a story for a different
I'm
podcast.
gonna say one thing about the A&M Auburn game is For once in my life, I was really heavily rooting for Anum to win because I can't stand Hugh Freeze.
I was at an Aggie bar with one of my best friends, cheering my butt off about OU and amongst Aggie fans that had battered Aggie syndrome. And yeah.
And moving on to the next one, he talked about Florida and Ole Miss. Do you know the scene from SpongeBob where SpongeBob's a superhero and he says, you want to see me touch that rock and come back? And then he does it. And
Want
he
to see
goes,
me
you
do
want
it
to see me do it
again?
again? That
Yeah,
was Jackson Dart
right.
at the end of the game.
Yep.
It was hilarious. Also, Billy Napier for SEC Coach of the Year. And give DJ
Really?
and give DJ Lagway the Heisman.
N
Because
okay, no. No,
okay.
no, no, no.
Hear
No,
me out.
not the Heisman. No,
Hear
no,
me
no, no, no,
out.
no.
Hear me out. I'm only half kidding. Because hear me out. Heisman is supposed to go dedicated to like probably the most valuable player in college football, right?
The best player in college football.
Look at Florida's offensive EPAs and stats and their record without DJ Lagway. Look at how much different they play.
Understand. Is he the best at college football, or does he just make that team? There's a difference.
I think they go hand in hand.
Maybe if your team's winning.
Also, side note, Florida might get Mike Norvell fired this weekend whenever they play.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's gonna,
Uh,
yeah. We
that's
don't
gonna
have
be
to spend
really
much
bad.
time. It's gonna happen. You brought up the Heisman. I stand firm on this, especially because of I'm now looking at the rankings. Boise State's place. Give me Aston Jeanty every day of the week. That kid needs to be the Heisman winner, without a doubt in my mind. So look, Lagway, freshman All-American, I understand. I saw him last year down in Willis, Houston area. He's a Texas boy. Great quarterback. I think he's got a bright future, and I think he will be a Heisman winner. This year? No. No. Aston Jeanty, give me him. Much to your point, though, look at Boise State. If you take him off the field, are the Broncos still in the playoff right now?
No.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Look at your face.
No.
Yeah, you know I make a good point.
Because I was going to say, in that case, isn't Josh Hoover in the same boat? You take him off this TCU team.
But it makes more sense when your team's winning. If you're actually leading your team
Actually,
to the highest
really,
pinnacle,
Savion Williams, if
for
we're
a
being completely
Heisman,
honest.
no.
But I'm just saying, like, what he means.
Oh,
He
yes.
is.
Is he? Yes. Okay. So we're splitting hairs here. But yes, if when you break down and you pick team by team, and that's the player that means the most of that team, then yes, I see what you're talking about. Does that mean they're an automatic Heisman candidate? No, because we've had a pretty lackluster year despite our record. So no, it's not going to happen for a TCU player this year. It's definitely not going to happen for Lagway of Florida.
You just brought up something really great that I want to discuss. You said
Go
a
ahead.
lackluster
We got to
year.
hurry though.
You said a lackluster year. TCU wins this weekend. They're 8-4. That's not a lackluster year.
That's why I said despite our record. You and I have talked about this all season. Does this feel like an 8-4 year?
It has after the bye week.
Yes, because we came on strong, but I want you to flash back to before the bye week.
I don't want to because I was
Did
SMU.
it ex well, who we're about to talk about. But
I just tried to
my
give you a
point
segue
I know you did, but you also interrupted my point. And so I'm going to finish this point. I want you to go back to before the bye week. Did 8-4 seem like it would, I mean, it was obviously possible, but did we feel that good going into the bye week a couple weeks ago that even 8-4 we were like, eh, that's exactly how we were. And I still feel that way. Because who have we beaten? What's our resume?
We beat Texas Tech.
That's the best you can give me?
We beat Stanford. They have the same record as Florida State.
That's.
Forget about Florida State's record, but they have the same record as Florida State.
Okay, SMU beats Virginia. They're going to Charlotte 1 year. JD is taking his headphones off for those who are not who are not watching and only listening. JD just took his headphones off. SMU is going to Charlotte first year. Okay, I'm going to say something that on this show is not going to be very liked, but I have to say it. I'm really pulling for him. And JD almost vomited into his microphone, and he shut his microphone off. He's cussing at me. Yep, I can see it. Okay, so while he has his microphone, he can't microphone off. He can't interrupt me. No, I'm going. And he turned it. Oh, he turned his video off too. He might be leaving the. We might be ending this show right now. I don't know if I'm going to get cut off. So I'm going to say this real quick. Look, since the death penalty, SMU has waited so long for something to happen. They've been very, very close. They've been screwed by a lot of different people in a lot of different scenarios. Much conference realignment happens. They've sucked in recruiting. They brought in June Jones. June Jones was thought to be the savior. Obviously, they brought in Sonny. Sonny ditched SMU for TCU. I find it good as a sports historian and someone who's not even a born and bred TCU fan, but a born and bred OU fan. I find it refreshing that SMU is good and they find themselves back in the national spotlight and they do it in such a spectacular way. If they go one and done in the playoffs, I don't know if they are going to be a host site. I don't know if they're going to end up getting the bye week yet. We have no idea how it's going to work out. But if they end up one and done, that is fine because everybody involved with SMU. They have won this season. They have won this season. Much like Tyson just stepping into the ring against Paul, Tyson is, and JD once again shuts off his video as soon as he turned it. Tyson stepped into the ring to somebody who is 40 years his junior. And Tyson almost died back in June. And he went a full 8 rounds. Well, full 8, it was 2 minutes. But Tyson got in that ring, took some shots, delivered some shots. Tyson may not have won the decision, but he won that fight, if you really think about it. And that's exactly how I view SMU right now. They're going to Charlotte, and I personally, I know JD's not gonna like this. I hope they beat Miami to kingdom come.
Are you
Go ahead,
done? Are you
JD.
done?
I'm done. Go ahead.
That was the worst thing you probably ever said, and probably one of the worst things I've ever heard grace my ears. SMU does not deserve this success. I would like to see the players do well if they were wearing any other jerseys besides SMU because I think they're really fun to watch. SMU does not deserve this. They are the rich kids who bought their friends because they literally bought their way into a conference. They have not had the same success, and deservedly so. It's going to be a real shame when they make it to the playoffs and lose to Notre Dame by 3 touchdowns. Then it's going to be a real shame when 2 months after that, Rhett Lashley announces the head coach at UNC because Mack Brown got fired today. And then it's going to be even more funny whenever they ended up losing and they're still recruiting worse than TCU with all this unlimited NIL money they have. Like, no, I'm out. Sorry. You just, oh, God. No. I
Should we bring up the Alito Arlington Heights
Again,
rivalry while we're at
I
it?
hope they make the playoffs and I hope they get blown out.
Should we bring up the Alito Arlington
I
Heights
can mute
rivalry while we're
you.
at
I can mute you.
it? Okay, last point we got to make because I got to go. You and I both need sleep, my friend, and we got another show to do tomorrow. Mack Brown officially out at UNC. They're going to let him coach the game against NC State this weekend, but they're not going to let him coach the bowl game, it sounds like. NC is in fact bowl eligible. He should have been done 3 years ago, dude. I thought it was great. He made a return for a couple years, but he's been at NC a lot longer than I thought he was going to be. And man, have you seen a recent picture or video of him? The man just looks done. I mean, he's losing a lot of weight. You can clearly see how it's aging him. I mean, he's turning into Lou Holtz, all due respect to Lou Holtz, but he's turning into someone that I don't really just want to hear from anymore in a post-game press conference. And I definitely don't want to hear from him in the media because if you remember, he joined Big Noon Kickoff for a time. As an OU fan, I did not care for Mack Brown as the Longhorns head coach, but I got to give respect where respect is due. He had great years at Texas, of course, the national championship, and he's a great coach. And I'll always remember him as a great coach. But it's a lot like how I feel about Corso on game day. Dude, your time's over. That's why they brought in Pat McAfee. Right? He's the new character that everyone wants to see. Corso's done eventually. And Mack Brown's done now. I feel bad that it has to end this way on a barely bowl eligible season, and he's not even gonna get to coach the bowl game. And he's probably his last game is probably going to be a loss to his arch rival. I hate that for him, but man, his time's been done. He's been done for years.
Nolan, we read the novel about this, I think, in like fifth grade. Old Yeller.
You're
They
gonna make
let
me cry on these airwaves.
They let Mac Brown have one last great
Do
day
you want me to cry?
after what you said earlier. Yeah. They let Mac Brown have one last good day before they send him out to the pasture.
Well, so then why are they firing him before the bowl game? I mean,
It's
look,
also the
don't
biggest
make his
issue
last
of
game be a loss to his arch rival.
it's also the biggest issue of being that you shouldn't have fired him, because it should have been, if you wanted to save face, it should have been a mutual part ways, because Mac
Well, I
Brown
think.
said repeatedly, "I'm coaching next year and beyond
Yeah.
that." And it's like, brother, give it up. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, I
And
mean,
I hate to bring this up, especially because of the controversy, but Mac Brown makes me think of Joe Paterno, and here's why. Obviously, we found out after the whole controversy that Paterno had been hiding his cancer for a long time. But when Paterno lost football, he was done. He was done. That was it. There was nothing more for him to do, and I think that he gave up. I think he stopped the fight. Now, I'm not saying that Mac Brown has cancer, he's going to die, but I think that's why he's holding on to it so much. I don't think that he knows what he's going to do. So I really feel for him. I genuinely do. I feel for Mac Brown. Now, I think he's done, but I think NC needs to at least give him the bowl game.
the wise man once said, everyone's forced to hang up the cleats. It's either on your terms or someone else's. And it sucks for Mac Brown, it's not
And
on
that's
his.
right. And you know what? And that's absolutely right. That's again, I'm not mad about Mac Brown leaving. I think he should have been gone a long time ago. But you got to give him that one more game. To me, that's a load of crap.
I do think it's interesting that he's the first Power Four coach, head coach fired this season. We haven't had one at all. Very odd. It's circling back on my point that this is the year that if you're going to fire a coach, it's right now.
It's good. And again, that's actually a good point. Now that we've circled back to that, that's a good point. But I don't know. I'm relieved because that man needs to enjoy retirement and needs to enjoy the latter part of his life for sure. He deserves it. He absolutely deserves it. But man, don't make a football guy like this go out this way. I doubt that anyone from NC is going to see this, but please, Tar Heels, let him do the bowl game. Don't let his last game be a bad loss to your arch rival. May not even be a bad loss, maybe close, but y'all aren't beating NC State. At least I don't think so. We could debate that, but I don't think so. Anyway, JD, you want to take 90 seconds today, or you want to wait for till tomorrow for the preview?
I'll take tomorrow, because if I do it today, it'll just be about SMU, and I don't want to waste any more breath on them.
Well, I mean, I'll give you both if you want, but
No, it's fine.
okay. Frog fans, that does it for the 24th episode of the Gridiron Frogs podcast as a part of TCU Horned Frogs on SI. Thank you for tuning in, listening, watching, however you find your podcast. We will see you tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving, Frog fans. And until then, for my partner, JD Andrus, and everybody at coolerfrogs.com, I'm Nolan Ruth signing off. So long, everybody.